Hello, my name is Brandy Hofer, your host and founder of Color Me Happy, a community podcast and book, all of which I started in my in-home studio whilst in the throes of motherhood. I am an artist, author, educator, and mother to three beautiful boys. We live and create together in our in-home studio that is tucked away in the quiet Canadian prairies. Our podcast and community was built to empower and inspire. We chat about everything from motherhood, the art world, business, and health in the most honest and authentic way. It's totally unedited and unfiltered. If you love what we do here, become a part of our free community, Color Me Happy. We have grown the community to support our members with features and interviews. Our link is in the notes. Thank you for being here. I sure do appreciate your time. Hello, my name is Brandy. Welcome to Color Me Happy podcast. Thank you so much for being here. We can't wait for you to dive into this episode with Wendy. She talks a lot about creating as a healing process, and being creative is really such a gift, especially when, I remember like being in the throes of grief when losing my mother and father-in-law right in the midst of having children. And it was such a heavy time, but like also a time filled with so much joy. And I really always look back at that period of my life as such a gift and really grateful that I had my creativity as an outlet. And I can only hope that other people have that same thing, that same opportunity to heal through their creativity. And it really isn't something like crazy. Like you can join our sketchbook project or be in our Color Me Happy community or join a cooking class or whatever it is that is your like safe space for you. I encourage you to delve deeper into it and explore it regularly, because those are what get us through the hard times in our lives, and it will always be there for you, and it will be always something that you can have and lean on. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you to our supporters, Nouveau Laser and Aesthetic Center, BioClean Disaster Services, Oasis Hot Yoga and Spin Studio, and Red Bicycle Communications. Thank you to from the support of our community. We have really exciting things coming up. Mural season is beginning, and if you'd like to become a supporter of our podcast and our community endeavors, please reach out anytime at brandyhofer.ca. There's a way to contact us there. So thank you so much for listening, and get sharing in our Color Me Happy community. We're there to support you, and we can't wait to hear what you're working on or what you're going through. It's a safe space to share. So chat soon, my friends.
As a creative person, like I have to make art, like, or I will go insane. So what helps for me, I think, is just that it's like woven into my life, you know, like it's not like, you know, I rarely have like all day to paint, you know? So for me, like what helps is like my studio is like in my dining room, and like my girls are all just like over here, you know, in the main area. And so like even when I'm like homeschooling, sometimes I can like go to my studio and like just paint for a few minutes, or you know, pack a few orders, or you know, whatever it is, and then go back and be with them. And so it's often like, you know, just
I call it weaving.
Yeah, that's perfect. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like and I think, you know, I used to have like my in the other house that we lived in, my studio was like in a bedroom in the basement and I never went in there, you know? So I just like a lot of times it'll be more like on the weekends when, you know, when I don't have to be like doing as much mom stuff, It'll be on the weekends or sometimes the evenings. I will, finish off a few paintings. I also find that it helps to like work on like batches of paintings, like I'm never just doing like one at a time. So like I think because I've like perfected my process in terms of like like how I like to work, like I always have like, I don't know, anywhere from like 6 to 10 pieces going all at once, that type of thing. So.
Yeah, actually, that was some of the best advice that I took away from art school, from a professor. He sat down with me. I was stuck on one painting for like a really long time. And he's like, and because I'm super type A and a people pleaser, he was like, by the time I get here next week, I want six paintings around you in this little studio space. And I was like, are you crazy? Like, are you crazy? And it like just broke away this shell, and it ended up being my like grad collection that I exhibited. But I have worked that way ever since. Like, it's and the way you work and the way you weave in and out about your day, you have to have things that you won't get stuck and stop at. Like, if you just have that one painting where you're like, I don't know what to do next, then you won't work at all, right?
And sometimes that does happen, I feel like, with certain pieces, but like I have so many paintings going at the same time that like if one sits, it's not a big deal because I have other things going at the same time. So, yeah, and then you asked about teaching like classes and stuff like that. So, I have a site, like I think I've been teaching online classes. I want to say probably maybe like 8 years,
Oh,
possibly.
wow.
Yeah, so I actually started, I don't know if you're familiar with Jean Oliver. She has like an amazing site where she invites like so many artists to like teach online classes. And so I taught 4 classes for her, and which was amazing because it kind of helped me like get my start in teaching online, kind of got my feet wet, and then I was like, I really want something for myself, to like build on my own platform in this like, at the pace that I want to go, So then I established an online site on Teachable. And so ever since then, I've been releasing courses. I think I have like over 30 now. It's
Oh,
kind of
wow.
crazy. Yeah, it's a lot. I did it a lot more like a few years ago. Like I would do like maybe one, like 3 or 4 classes a year I used to do. And then things have kind of slowed down because of I started homeschooling, and so I just didn't have the capacity to do it as much. But I love it because I can, because it really fits into like my lifestyle in terms of like being a mom. Like I can record a class like and then put it out and edit it like on my own time frame. So it just works really well for me. Like I would love to do like more like in-person teaching, but I just don't have like the
Capacity
capacity
right
for
now.
it right now.
No, and that's okay. And if it's working, like you, it sounds like you've been doing this long before, like a lot of people have been. And it's funny because you were a teacher and you didn't keep going with being a teacher, but it was like a very powerful tool and a building block in the foundation of like who you are as a creative, you know?
And it's kind of funny because it's like, like that foundation of teaching kindergarten like somehow like helps not only homeschooling my kids, but also like being able to teach online. And, you know, I absolutely love it. Like, I feel like in some ways, like teaching has made me a better artist, because I feel like you learn skills anytime you have to teach someone something. Like, you learn it at a deeper level, because you're like, you have to internalize what you're doing, like your whole entire process. And I think because like, I'm always looking, like, I loved that. I was watching in your stories the other day about how you're talking about like playing with the process and everything. And I think that's what teaching did for me, was it really taught me to like, okay, I did something this way this one time, but what if I switch it up? And like, you know, I don't know, like it just really made me kind of pick apart like my process and how I do things, and then like also how to maybe switch things up myself in my process. Does that make sense? So
Of course. Yeah. And it's funny, in those classes, like people ask you questions and you're like, I forgot about that.
Right.
Like, right. Yeah. Let's go over that. You're like, you know, cause you learn something and it becomes, it's like, things feel so overwhelming at first, like you'll never figure it out. And then you forget what that feels like, because your new routine becomes like this habit, and it, when it becomes a habit, you no longer think about it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so you're right. Teaching has a way of like going back to the magic of what it was like at the beginning. I was talking on, it's been a busy podcasting week. I haven't posted it, but Stephanie Rose Freeman, who started as an artist and a content creator at the exact same time. And so she's very good at it, but we were talking about how, you know, because I didn't, like, those didn't coincide. Like, I've been in the art world for like almost 20 years, and I just started deciding I liked teaching. So right. I have to like remember all of those beginning things,
right.
Like, especially with the first time I made a mural, like that was so overwhelming. And working with other artists, I'm like, oh my gosh, this has to be like really thorough, because it is overwhelming, but it is possible. We just have to break down a few material things, like the technicalities of how things work if you've never done it. And in that case, it's really overwhelming, because you're blowing something up on this grand scale.
Yeah, I think I actually am similar in that. Like, I think I've almost always, like, I've always incorporated teaching in some way with my art practice. even when some of the stuff like can get embarrassing, because I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I like released that course
and taught people
these things. But
sometimes when I go back to freehanding, I'm like, I have not practiced my freehanding for such a long, because I have my own technique where it's like perfect,
right.
And so like when I freehand, I was like, this could go good or really bad in front of a group of 30.
Yeah, but don't you think that people relate to that? Because I think they need to know that you're not like some perfect artist
robot, or,
you know, I think that, you know, cause it's scary being a creative and putting yourself out there, and for them to know that, you know, like, even if you've been doing this forever, like you still make mistakes and nothing, like it's part of the process. And growing as an artist is so much of like figuring out what doesn't work, or, you know, just getting better, you know?
It's so true. The human in like, especially when it comes to like social media and having these really beautiful profiles that are all put together. And it's right. easy for me to like make judgments even about like you seeing your beautiful, colorful profile with all like these, like it's easy to make the judgment, like she's got it all together, you know?
Yeah.
And yeah. so I love like, and she's got it figured out as an artist. Well, and then this like terrible jealousy creeps in, but really I'm not, I connected to you and I felt happy. But yes. like 4 years ago, I maybe wouldn't have like, as right. I've grown into a place of who, like I feel good at the place I'm at in my life and I'm proud. Right. But you know, an emerging artist or someone who's, you know, and we're all human. We're all right. every day like doing these struggles. And I think you're so right in the fact that we have to share our struggles too. It's very yeah. important.
Yeah. And I, one of the things that I just started doing with, you know, some of the classes that I've been teaching is I've been sharing like some of my like older work and like times when, and it's not even like necessarily that the art is bad per se. It's just that it's not me, you know? And I think that I tried so many different like genres and styles and like, you know, at one point, like literally I was making digital, like in Illustrator, I was making digital forest animals, like cute little like nursery forest animals, you know? And it wasn't like necessarily that it was bad. It just wasn't like my voice, you know, and who I am as an artist now, you know? But I can see that like, even in that time, like it taught me a lot of skills, like how to create, how to really focus on shapes and simple line work and, you know, just different things like that.
Also learn Illustrator.
Yeah. Yeah. Which I don't use, but
yeah,
I can.
Illustrator. I was a social media marketing position for a while.
In a position of that regard.
And I had to learn Illustrator and I just like, it took me so long and it was so painful. I just remember it. And now I don't use it at all yeah. either. I use Photoshop, but
yeah,
it is something different.
Right.
But it is a good skill. And it got me into Photoshop as well. So like,
yeah,
I never knew how to use those things before that position.
Right.
So it was an important part of my life. And
right. And then the other thing that it taught me is that I don't enjoy being on the computer that much, you know, yes. like I have to get dirty. And so that's like, I think one of the things that I learned from that season as well. And to just really embrace like the messiness. Cause I really do. I enjoy that. I think that's what connects me to your artwork so much is just, I love like the mess and how like you create it into something like totally different. Like, but yeah, like that just speaks to me so much.
Thank you. That's so kind. I love your process too. And like, it's just so, there's something about it that just makes you happy. Like,
oh,
you know, you can tell you're like enjoying every part of it. Mm-hmm. Not to say you don't have struggles, but you can tell like you're a seasoned mm-hmm. artist and you've worked a long, hard time to get to where you are and showing other people's that same path and empowering them mm-hmm. through example. But I agree with you. I can digitally sketch. I'm like, I figured it out really fast, like Procreate and stuff like that. However, yeah. I just like coming off of it for 4 hours, I was just like, I feel absolutely terrible. Like I can't.
Yep.
Something about like the way you move and the way you use materials and the, yep. there's something about it And you're right. You have to get like, you have to feel things and right. do different textures and techniques. And I don't think I'll ever change that part of being an artist. How about you?
Yeah, no, like, I'm just thinking like back to how I even like started in my creative journey was after a car accident, and I had a traumatic brain injury from that car accident. And I was really, really struggling. And I didn't really consider myself an artist before all of that because I was teaching and, you know, like I didn't really pursue art, even though I was kind of good at it when I was younger, but I never pursued it. And then because of my car accident and traumatic brain injury, I was in a really, really dark season of my life and really struggled with like chronic pain and depression and all of those things. And my mom gave me an art book, and it was Kelly Ray Roberts. I can't remember. I think it's called Taking Flight. And it was just like a mixed media technique book. And so I went out to like Hobby Lobby, and like I had like zero money, I remember at the time, and my girls were really young, and I got all the supplies and just started making art. And it was the first time in my life where I fell in love with the process instead of the end product of like, this has to be like a put together piece. Does that make sense? And so it didn't matter so much about like making a beautiful painting as it did about like getting glue all over my hands, because it was like collage and paint and all that good stuff. And because of that, I feel like you know, it really taught me how to come back and be present in my body and in my life. And that was the beginning for me. And I was like, I just love making a mess. And so
thank you for sharing that story. It's, you know, we have these turning points in our lives, and I'm so sorry to hear that. That must have been like just so difficult for you, especially when you had young children.
Yeah, so it happened even before I had kids. So and then I had kids, and then it was like kids on top of all that other stuff. So it was a really difficult season for me, for sure. But like I said, I mean, and honestly though, like the weird part about it was that I think in some ways, like, and I've heard this from other people who have had similar things, like, it's almost like the car accident rewired my brain. And because it was like before the car accident, I was like much more like, more left brained, but that was like where my brain injury was. So I had to like learn how to become more creative. And honestly, like, I do art now in such a different way than I did before. Like before, I could only like copy something. Like I did portraits, like pencil drawings, and now I can just like paint something out of my head instead of like having to be more like detailed about it. Does that make sense? So
that's so interesting.
Yeah. It's very interesting that allowed me. And so to me, it like just seems like this beautiful gift, because I wouldn't have my creativity today if it wasn't for that traumatic brain injury, sadly.
Unfortunately, but, yeah. Unfortunately. Like, no one wants to be like, I liked my brain injury.
Right? But that, I mean, like, it didn't happen immediately. It was years of, you know, going through it. But, you know.
Mm-hmm. That's like, you know, when I talk about losing our parents, and it's like, no, I of course want them here. But I do see a gift in the fact that how we view our lives and how we live our lives after those big losses and in the midst of being parents, like at all at once, right? Like that we live life very differently. And so I will see it as a gift now, because that's the only way I can see it, because sitting in the other side of it is we won't function. It's it's not, we have to be present for ourselves and our children. But that doesn't mean we don't want them here, right?
Right.
Because they're amazing people. And I found it really fascinating how you talked about you know, where you started, like, and I with graphite, like pencil drawings of like interpreting the image like directly, like this is what it looks like. And I feel like people logically always kind of start there, and then they like train their brain, and it takes a while. I know this from working with youth right now, like they're always starting. They're always like, I have to do it in pencil first, exactly the way it is. And then you're like, you know, you're helping them see that like they're, and then these connectors start happening. And I actually think that might be a brain thing.
Yeah. I do think it is, because
using new areas.
Yeah. And I think a lot of times, like, you know, you get hung up, especially, which I think it's why I love what you do with your kids so much. Because I think we get stunted as, you know, like a 5-year-old creatively, like, because we think, oh, I'm not good at art because my drawing doesn't look like it's supposed to or whatever. And we shut down that side of ourselves because we say, oh, I'm not good at, you know, painting or, you know, whatever, because we're so like focused, hyper focused on it has to be perfect. You know, it
has to be a certain way.
Yeah. And even just like the definition of what art is, you know, like, but the things that I enjoy are, you know, the making a mess and, you know, having fun in that way. So
my second son, like, I'm hoping he does something creative, but I'm not going to make him, like, because it's the other side, right? Like, you know, your mom's an artist, so she makes you be an artist. Or, like, your dad likes hockey, so that you must be a hockey player. I'm not going to make him, but I just, like, you know, you're excited. He like, cuts up garbage and, like, puts it all together. Like, he just has this, like, innate ability to create, like, it's just there, like all kids do, but I have three and I see the differences between the way they create. Like, he's upstairs just finding things randomly and making art. Like, they're people don't typically, that's not a typical move of anyone, really. Like, and so and they're not crafts, that's for sure. I don't know what they are. Kind of like another reinterpreted piece of garbage, but it's like he sees the world in a really different way. And I'm trying to figure out what he's passionate about, because he tried hockey and it wasn't hockey this year. And everyone's like, well, you know, it's his first year, so maybe he'll love it next year. I'm like, I'm just spending $600 and hauling him to the rink so he like said, if we get to the change room and he won't go on the ice again.
Right.
Like, I'm not doing that. Like, it was so stressful for everyone involved. So he's starting piano next week. He's left-handed and throws with his right hand. So like slightly ambidextrous. So I'm like, maybe it's piano.
Maybe.
Yeah. And I think society really needs to kind of be more fluid and open to the fact that like creativity can heal. Creativity does uplift. Creativity makes you utilize different ways of thinking. And those are so valuable later on in life. Like those are more valuable than, you know, what is like core curriculum in schools.
Right. Yeah.
Do your kids, sorry, I had another question for you.
Okay. So I was just going to say, like, I think that's been like one of the gifts that I've found, like, especially in homeschooling. So like, my youngest is probably like my most creative. She just like, I don't know, I guess she just kind of came out that way. Like I saw her, I think also 'cause she's the third, like she always wanted to like, imitate her sisters. And so like, I have videos of her, like when she's two, like with a pencil, like trying to write and draw and all these things. And so, she's really, really like out of the box creative. And, she is, she has like a desk in my studio, like, and she like will steal my paints and she steals like my art journals and, you know, does her own thing, like, and somewhat imitates me, but it's like totally out of the box. Like when, like she makes things with cardboard that I'm like, oh my gosh, like she's made like a three-dimensional, like, it's not really a phone, but it's like a book that kind of looks like a phone and just like all these like random things. And like, we always joke, 'cause it's like, she's like really into tape and like, we'll find like,
oh my gosh, so has been like tape, like taping, like sometimes I find like my Prismacolors all taped together in a different way. And I'm just like, this is so annoying.
I'm like, and she has her like own set of tape, like, and then like, I end up with like tape on my shoes or tape on my back or all over my clothes.
Like, oh my gosh. And so funny. The way you described her, it's just in them. Like, it's just there. It's like, you don't. Right. You're like, and they do their totally like own thing.
And I love it. And I think because we have more time together, like I love that, like, you know, that gets to be part of her school, you know what I mean? Like it, and it's just, it's not even that I plan it, you know? Like she just does it, you know, and it's part of her day anyways, you know, so that's really exciting. And my oldest, I feel like is probably a lot more like I was, like just very like detailed, and she'll like have like a sketchbook and like, does like immaculate like drawings and stuff like that. But yeah. And then my middle daughter, she's like not really interested. So,
yeah. And so everyone thinks like all your kids must be creative because you are.
Yeah.
And you have this beautiful studio that they can use or utilize. Right. And it's just not the case. And you've given them the opportunity of having a choice too. Right.
Yeah.
Right. And I think that lacks a lot in typical general, like I talked to, and I mean, there's nothing wrong with being passionate about something, but I was talking to a dad who is very passionate about hockey, and he's like, he has to go in, like we live and breathe and bleed hockey, and like, he'll have this into adulthood. And I was just like being polite, and I was like, okay, sure. And I'm, of course, like I have time to swallow and process that information. I was like, you know, I want to find what Finn feels like he needs to live and breathe and bleed. And that wasn't hockey. I'm so glad that you have that and your kids love it. I'm so happy for you. But that doesn't mean that this is the path for all of my children or children in general. Like that's one part of their life. Like life is, as we know, we don't sit and create all day. That is not possible. It's like a big mix up and mashup of everything all at once. And what are some ways that like help feed your creativity where you're like doing something else that like where your brain rests? Like, what does that look like for you? You self-care.
Oh, self-care.
Self-care. Do you do it or?
Yes. No, I just was like, my brain was going like all sorts of different places. So, yeah, like I don't know, like I have just recently, I don't know if this counts, but I just recently started working with a personal trainer in moving my body. And I feel like, yeah, like that definitely helps in terms of like, I have dealt with like chronic pain for like my, ever since that car accident. And since then, I've also been rear-ended two other times.
Oh my gosh.
So it's like, I've just been, you know, a mess, but, I feel like that has helped to like really, you know, build some of my muscles, get my body moving, help, even though it doesn't like make all the pain go away, it helps some of it. Like I have better posture and I can like, you know, focus more. But yeah, I don't know what else. I
like being stronger.
Yeah. Yeah. Being
for stronger. Women, like lifting weights isn't like a big thing. Right. And right. I recently just this year, and we talked about it, we messaged yeah. about it a little bit. And, like it's just, there's something to having like a strong spine and it's like a foundation and, yeah. Feeling strong is so empowering.
Right. And, you know, especially I think for me, because like I'm getting older, you know, I'm going to be turning 46 in a few months. And, you know, like I have been through like just a lot of like crazy, like hormonal changes lately. And it's not been very much fun.
No,
but,
bet not.
not at all. But like that I know is like so important for me. And then like I just started doing, I don't know if you've ever heard of cryotherapy. Have you never heard of that?
No, I'm waiting. I'm excited to learn.
It's like it's insane. Like you go into like this chamber that like is cool. It's kind of like an ice plunge. You know how like those things have like really taken off. Well, this is like a dry cold, so you don't have to get wet. But I started doing that. I
sounds go terrible.
It's like awful. You're like in there for like, I don't know, like you only go in for 2.5 minutes. So you can do anything for 2.5 minutes, right? And so like it's like it goes to like -200 and some degrees, but like when you get out, like it boosts your mood like really well. So
well, your body's like, I need to save you.
No, but that's the science behind it, is that what it does is it like gets your body into healing mode. And so because it triggers that, like it helps you to kind of reset and like start healing more. And then at that same place they have, I don't know, I'm just going on, but it like red light therapy and then some other things like a sauna and stuff like that. And so
interesting.
Yeah. So I do that like a few times a week just to kind of like take care of my body. Like I feel like
inflammation and stuff.
Yeah. Like I feel like it definitely helps. And it's just like a lot of, you know, moving pieces. But I do feel like it's so like, you know, there's so many things that I feel like, oh, I should really do that, you know, to kind of help with, you know, taking care of myself. But it's like, you know, you only have like, so much time to day.
Oh, I know. I only do like a half an hour of moving a day. That's all right. I can like sneak in, and it's not, and it's at home or like a run outside. Like it's like, you know, half an hour to an hour, but I right. do it every day. And I know I talk about this all the time, but I'll keep talking about it for the rest of my life, because when you take care of yourself, like that foundational of like, and Stutz talks about it in that documentary with Jonah Hill. I don't know if you've seen it, like the pyramid, like once you take the, like you're at the bottom of like self-care right. and being who you are, then you can do relationships and then you can thrive.
Yeah.
And so when like, you can't do anything if you haven't come right. out of like taking, like you're not a functioning human being. You're not your best self.
Yeah.
And there are so many aspects to making that work, and we don't always hit it. We're right. human, but it's like so, so important. And I remember like the season of, becoming a new mom, I remember I couldn't pick up toys off the floor.
Right.
And like my back was always out, and mm-hmm. I could like, and at night I would go to bed and like my whole body hurt everywhere. My head, my shoulders, like every, yeah. my legs, restless legs, like throbbing. And I was like, yeah. oh, this is just being a new mom. Like I'm just tired from, I was also not sleeping. But yeah, like that, I'm right. just tired from being a new mom. This is what motherhood is. And yeah. It's like, it's a lifelong journey of figuring out, you know, I was in extreme inflammation. I wasn't doing any sort of foundation training. So all of those things I solved through diet and exercise. And, yeah. And I'm not talking about like diets. I'm talking about like, you know, having peas and omega-3s and yeah, yes. health, like balancing that, like I can't have gluten. That was the inflammation. Right. And yep. so now I would, from like pain all the time to no pain at all. Like I was having Advil right. and Tylenol every day.
Yeah.
And now I can't remember the last time I had any of that. And so right. it's just, it's so, I want everyone to feel good, you know?
Right. It's so important. Yeah. And that was the other piece that I was going to say, like, is I kind of am like a little bit of like a foodie type of person, and like, but not just like, you know, like, I don't know, like I really try to take care of my body and eating like nourishing foods and stuff like that. And so I definitely, in lots of ways, I think I was creative first in like cooking before I
yeah.
actually started painting, you know? So I think that's another piece, is like really just, you know, like when I'm not like painting, I'm like, you know, sometimes like coming up with like recipes that I want to try, or, you know, just different things like that. So.
It is. I think the culinary arts are like such a beautiful form of creativity. Although in parenthood, and when you're like churning out 3 meals a day, it like can get a little bit like,
oh, I don't do that.
I'm just doing a frozen pizza.
I just do dinner, and the girls all like do their own breakfast. Good. And then my oldest, we have her every day. She makes smoothies for all three of my girls. Oh, so wow. like health smoothies. And that's her job, is to make everyone smoothies every day. And so I think that's another thing that helps things move smoothly, is like all my girls have like jobs that they do every day that it contribute to the home, and like taking care of, you know, the dishes and all that kind of stuff. So
I wholeheartedly agree. And I know I've talked about like what's missing in society a lot today, but what's missing in society is that everyone has all their kids and all these extracurriculars, and we're missing like the fundamentals of what right. it's like to make it through the day as an adult. Like you have yeah. to know how to cook, and you have to know how to you clean and these kids are in all these things and they're so exhausted and that's their like job right. to like go to school and go to the activity and then, you know, everything else is done. And what about the fundamentals of living?
Right.
And I'm trying to teach the boys how to cook and it's so bad. It's so hard. They made dinner the other night and they made beef burgers and they cut up potatoes and what else did, yeah, I mean, it's not like the healthiest, greatest dinner, but it was something. And you know, yeah. they're only eight, 6 and 3. And like, I feel like they did great. And yeah, so, awesome. You know, I cut up some cucumbers and whatever. I was like, we need to have like all of the things in this meal.
Yeah.
And, but they love, all those, they each love making eggs, which is weird. And, but I, and they all contribute too. It's not easy.
No,
it's not easy, but well, it's important.
And your kids are younger, but you know, mine are older. And so it's a little bit different, you know?
Very much.
Yeah.
The things my kids pop in the microwave. I'm just like, I never use a microwave ever. But they were like, I read this, they insisted on getting Kraft dinner, which whatever. And so they read the directions and they're like, look, it says you can microwave it for 9 minutes. We're not doing that. We're not. It's like at 8:30 at night, I come down and they're microwaving stuff in a bowl. And I'm just like, oh no, we'll just cook it really quick. Like,
yeah.
So I'm trying, but I don't want them to come away like out of our home and not having those life skills.
Right.
Because then they'll just like, you know, every parent's greatest fear is they're just going to like live off of junk once they leave you. Right.
Right. Yeah.
So, but we're all just chugging along, doing our best. And
yeah,
don't be afraid of the mess, I guess.
Right. I love that about you. I think that was one of the things that that we first connected on, because like you were saying something about, I don't know what you had said, but like you were like talking about one of your kids eating paint. Was that true? Or am I just imagining?
Oh, when they were little. Yeah. Like okay. I had yeah. to only have the Crayola stuff. Because it's like,
right.
it's not a big deal if they ingest it. Because they were all like sensory in here at first.
Yeah. And so like, it just reminded me of like when my girls were young, because my middle daughter, she has like sensory issues, you know? And so I literally had to hide my paint and everything. And like, she, like when she was like, I don't know, between like 2 to like 6 or 7, like she, maybe not that long. Maybe it was like, maybe till she was like 5 or something. Like one time she drank India ink. She ate a tube of watercolor paint. I mean, it was like, and see, that's why I like totally get it, because I would have never been able to paint with oils when she was little. It would have just been like everywhere in my
nightmare
house.
Yeah,
she would have gotten into everything. Like we had to call poison control.
Well, yeah. I know Teddy, we were doing like this, like the blow bubbles to make bubbles in a pan.
Yeah.
And Teddy sipped it and I was like, okay, just don't do that again. You blow out. And then he sipped right. it again and he immediately threw up everywhere.
Oh my gosh.
And yeah, poison control. And they're like, that's what happens when kids drink soap. He already vomited, so you're good. It's like,
yeah,
oh my gosh.
He's good.
I just don't tell
him that
I did that.
His body did what it was supposed to do, right?
Oh, I've been to emergency with him. Yeah, I've got one of those who just like, Oh, they're all just liabilities for sure.
Yeah. But it ends. It ends. Yeah. Trust me. It ends.
Yesterday, the video of him with the stir. Did you see it? I don't know if it's on there anymore.
Oh, the
him sticking the wand
into the soda.
Which is like, so being, like, very quiet. I was like, this is gonna blow up in his face. But okay.
Okay.
Okay. I knew, like, it was just, I was giggling. And you can't so be awesome. Mad. You can't be mad. No. They're just experimenting.
Right.
And that freaking mud water wand. Oh, they're just obsessed with it because it makes like a tornado in the drink.
Yes.
And so, oh, it's the greatest toy ever. I feel like they should market it as a toy for kids. We put like sparkles in water and tornadoed it. Like, it's fun.
Yeah.
I accidentally, of course, ordered three. And so I have backup. So that's good.
Well, I think when I ordered it,
maybe it's a flaw in their system.
I thought they sent you two, like, but I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know.
Yeah. Okay. Everyone, if you order your mud water, they'll send you so many wands.
I think they send you two with the machine, actually. We were using ours to stir peanut butter the other day.
So great.
But that just reminds me, one time my husband tried to like mix up like a huge thing of peanut butter from Costco with one of the electric mixers. And he was like telling me to hold it. And like, yeah, that was my husband, not even my kids. And we had like peanut butter on the ceiling. It
was like, oh, wow.
Oh. So. Anyways,
I love my immersion blender. Those are the greatest tools in the kitchen.
Yeah.
You can always sneak veggies into sauces and stuff with those.
Right. But I don't even think it was an immersion. It was like one of those egg beaters.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
That was what we tried, but it's a mess.
That's so great. Well, Wendy, it was super nice meeting you and chatting with you in person.
Well, so fun.
And maybe one day we'll end up somewhere in person together.
Right.
On a retreat.
Kind of far away.
Yeah, just a little. Where can everyone find you?
Okay. So I am probably the easiest way is just Wendy Brightbill on Instagram. And then I have like all my links from there. My classes are at class.wendybrightbill.studio. So that is where you can find all my courses, and I don't know where else. That I mean, like, oh, if I had okay. anywhere, like, you can find.
I mean, Google, everyone. Google.
Yeah.
Not too hard.
Right.
Great. I have one final question, sponsored by Red Bicycle Communications. Can you describe to me your ideal perfect day? Like a day that you're just like, you can go anywhere, do anything.
Oh my goodness. My ideal perfect day. Well, I think it would involve obviously art, obviously. And I think it would also involve like maybe going thrifting. I don't know, because I love looking at old things, and I would love that. And maybe just like a day with like other women, other creative women. Like, I'm already thinking, like the first thing that came to mind was I'm going to a creative retreat here at the end of April at my friend Jean Oliver's, who's like 30 minutes away from me. And it's going to be like two glorious days of just being with other creative women and getting to be creative and really good food and community. And I'm really like, I'm thinking about that. That's going to be like amazing. So
there is something to like, community, like, and connecting right. and conversations and having that. Like, yeah. It's so important.
Especially, I think, with other creatives, because, like, I think in some ways we, you know, we do a lot of our work in alone, you know, and so it can get, like, so isolating, but it's so much fun to, like, even just, like, talking to you and, like, connecting with other creative people. It's so, like, empowering, and to know, like, you know, that we're not alone, and that we all have, like, similar struggles, and, like, even, like, talking to you and like, I don't know. I think that's why, one of the reasons why, like, just I connected with you so much, because you talk about, like, the reality of, like, trying to balance motherhood with being a creative. And it is such a unique challenge in the sense of, like, you know, it's hard. It's hard to do it all, you know? And when you focus on one thing, it's like the other things feel like they, you know, kind of get lost, or, you know, those type of things. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You're right. Yeah. It's like we cling to our sense of self through our creativity.
Yes. Yes, mm-hmm. for sure.
It's not like, and I said this on Instagram, and for some reason, it's by far the most popular thing I've ever done. But I said, being an artist doesn't define who we are, but being an artist makes you whole.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know? So thank you so much for sharing that. And it, again, super nice to meet you. Have fun in your retreat. I've never done one of those, and I definitely want to one day.
I highly recommend. It's so amazing. I would eventually love to, well, I love teaching at them.
Yeah, I want to teach at a retreat.
And I would love to even just host them. And that was the blessing, is that I have been able to teach for Jean several times at her home. And it was, like, one of the most beautiful experiences. So it's awesome.
Very cool. Good for you. Yeah, that's, you know, we can be multifaceted and we can do many things that support our creative practice. So,
yes.
Okay, I'll let you go. I know I don't want to. We could talk forever, but
I know we could.
we'll touch base soon. We chat all the time on Insta anyway.
All right. Okay.
Bye, Wendy.
Good. Bye.
If you're looking for some time for yourself to relax, release and unwind, Oasis has the perfect space for you. They offer yoga and spin classes of all levels. Whether you are a beginner or advanced student, Oasis thrives on accommodating all aspects of the practice. Let their serene environment and gracious staff help you in your journey of peace, healing, and strength. Sign up online at www.oasishotyogastudio.com or by downloading the Oasis Hot Yoga Studio app. Feel like yourself. You deserve it.